When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to a new edition of Fightful Movie Club. Today we are reviewing The Devil Wears Prada. My name is Rob Wilkins. We are joined by Gisberto, and our guest today is none other than Gail Kim. Gail, thank you so much for joining us. We are very excited to talk about this movie with you. How are you?
I'm great. I was really excited to just talk movies for once instead of wrestling. So I was like, you know what? This sounds really fun.
We are so happy to do this because we are the big movie buffs at Fightful, and you again for joining us, because me, Gisberto, and I are the movie buffs at Fightful, and we basically shot our shot to do a movie show, and they said, why not? So
yeah, I think it's a great alternative to, you know, the normal thing and get a little different perspective from some athletes or business.
I was just going to say, and like you said, I think a lot of the wrestlers have kind of enjoyed the opportunity to just talk about something other than wrestling, which nice change of pace.
For sure. I love it.
But yeah, so you picked The Devil Wears Prada today. And before we get into the movie, I just have to ask, because we exchanged a bunch of emails, and the other one that you had as an option was Grease 2. Yes. And I'm like the biggest Grease fan. I'm waiting for anyone to email me back and say, yeah, let's do Grease. And I'm ready for that. But you said Grease 2. And I'm just so curious, because a lot of people lately have been talking more about Grease 2.
Oh, so that's just interesting.
What about that movie do you love? And why that one, not Grease?
I always tell everyone, because when I was a kid, the very first movie I watched out of those two was Grease 2. So I fell in love with Grease 2 originally, and I wore out that VHS tape to death. And then I never got over Grease 2. I still love it to this day. And then so I watched Grease after the fact, and I always was very underwhelmed. And so I feel like people look at me like I'm nuts when I talk about that. But I've learned to appreciate Grease the original over the years. But I am a Grease 2 junkie, and I love it. I love almost every single song. I know them all to this day. And I do.
I love that. I would love to do a Grease 2 episode, because I think there'd be a lot to talk about there. I'm a big Travolta fan. So like the first Grease, my mom had the VHS. And I remember Thursdays, we had half days from school. My friends would come over, and they would always get annoyed because Grease was playing every Thursday afternoon at our house. Yes. And Yeah, some good memories with those movies.
It's a classic, definitely.
Yeah. Were you always watching movies growing up? Did you have any favorites? Any that kind of sparked your love for the medium?
I think movies nowadays, there's so much streaming, and I feel like it's kind of overwhelming these days, to be honest, and to keep track of everything that's on Amazon Prime to Netflix to Hulu. It used to just be so simple. You go to the movie theaters, or you change the channel and you have cable and you watch your favorite shows and sitcoms. I kind of miss that. I kind of miss the sitcoms, the classic ones that I grew up with as a kid. And then the movies in the movie theater. I honestly have not been in a movie theater since COVID. It's really sad to say, it's been years, literally, because I feel like COVID really changed how we live our lives now. And now it's just like downloading my app on the plane because I travel so much as an athlete and just try to catch up on what people and my attention span has pretty much gone out the window. So it's very hard for me to be pleased. I have an attention span of, if I don't like something within 20 minutes of say an hour episode, I turn it off and there's no going back. Right. So yes. I hate that about myself. And I've kind of got caught up with all that technology and fast paced action, but I appreciate a very good movie. I'm my husband and I are very much in sync, which is awesome because we both don't like horror movies. We both don't like really sci-fi. We're both chick flick kind of people. So I picked Devil Wears Prada today.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Have any movies influenced your day-to-day life or even your career?
Oh, wow. I would say definitely, not for me personally, but I would say around the boys in terms of the locker room and now being in office of a wrestling company, I noticed that all the boys always reference every Rocky movie. There's always quotes going off. Yeah. And there's inspirational movie scenes that they take. And I've seen them all way back, but I can never really remember what they're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I have like this little insider jokes with the Rocky sayings or, like I said, scenes, right? So say it has a heavy influence around our company.
Oh, that's... It's good to know. I have so many thoughts right now. Yeah. Okay, but The Devil Wears Prada, I love this movie. I think it's kind of like you said, how in the past we used to just kind of turn on cable and you'd find a movie. And this is one of the last great, I think, cable movies really before Netflix sort of took off. Mm-hmm. And I think start to finish, it's great. You can kind of jump in at any point and it really hooks you right away. So what is it about this movie, just generally before we go into it a bit more, that you love about it?
I think definitely it is one of those movies where even though it sounds like it would be a total chick flick, I know so many guys that love this movie. So I think you can't be fooled by the title or what you think this movie is about. I think it's got everything. It's got like, of course, as a woman, I love fashion and all these things, but I do love the whole cast. The cast is incredible. Especially my favorite is Emily Blunt, to be honest. And this was her breakthrough movie, and she nailed it. I mean, just the way she delivered her character was just so dry or sarcastic and just quick and just hilarious in her own way. I loved it. I fell in love.
I don't know if you've ever seen any of the interviews that they've done with her about this movie, because this was like her first big movie. This was like kind of her breakout role. And she said, they rewrote a lot of the part after they cast her because of her accent. And she added like a lot more of that kind of like British, I don't know, not snark, I guess would be the word. But yeah, she was talking about how she found out about getting the role while she was in a club with her sister. And it was like dance music playing in the background. And she might be one of the biggest actors in the world right now.
Oh yeah. She has up since that movie, and you know what it is, because I'm married to a Brit and she's British, obviously. It's their straightforwardness, that direct personality, and I love that. I love when they're straight to the point and you can find the humor in that. And I just think, and if you watch interviews of her, she's married to John Krasinski, who's
Krasinski,
one of the most successful actors out there right now as well. And he said he watched it a million times and fell in love with the movie, right? And so I think, it was definitely her breakthrough role. Obviously, Meryl Streep was incredible in it as well. Anne Hathaway, I feel like she's great. I love her all the time. So from her, I kind of already expected what she played, and it was kind of a straightforward character. But just the two, Emily Blunt and Meryl Streep, I think were the two performances that really, I think, captured the audiences for sure.
I think Stanley Tucci was fantastic.
Stanley Tucci. Oh my God. Yes.
I loved him in this. He's one of those actors that can do everything, but this was the first time I saw him do a movie where he played this kind of character that I could recall. And I just thought he was great because I related to him a lot because of just the work thing where you had that boss that will not appreciate you and expects a lot, and then you do it, and then you're just kind of pushed to the side. I just really, really enjoyed the character. I thought he was fantastic.
I felt like he really gave her a perspective that maybe we could see, but maybe we didn't. That one scene where she goes to complain to him, and he's kind of like, oh,
it's
giving it from his perspective, from someone who is so passionate. It's just all about respect, really. It's kind of like wrestling, right?
Yeah,
so if you
go into
wrestling and you watch someone come in and not appreciate their role and what they're given, because the whole line throughout the whole movie was a million girls would kill for that role, play that over and over and over again. It's true. You know, if someone walked into wrestling and they're, say, won a competition, say, getting a contract, and they didn't appreciate it, you would be like, okay, you know.
Yeah. He's got that. He's got the great line where, like when she goes in and she's complaining, she's like, they never say thank you. They don't recognize me for my work. And he says, he's like, this is a place where millions of girls would die to work, but you only deign to work here. And I heard someone kind of, he's like one of those millennial think pieces as a character, where he's trying to explain to her work ethic, and sometimes you don't need to get a pat on the back for everything you do. This is the job. You do it. He's like, that's what the paycheck is for.
No, exactly. And then, I mean, I guess really in the end, you realize for her, and we're skipping to the end of the movie, but I guess this movie just had so many life lessons, really, overall, the whole story arc, right? That part of it, not appreciating what you're given in this world that people find so great, or consider you to be lucky, but in the end that's not really what she wanted, right? So willing to sell who she was as that authentic person in the end. It was really good. I just loved it.
And then at the end, we jumped there when she kind of does like the reveal that she made the deal with the big boss to keep her, Miranda made the deal to keep her position, and then they go to Stanley Tucci and he's like, she'll pay me back.
It's
like, will she though? But like he had said, you know, he loved the job. He's going to do the work, and you just got to keep kind of grinding until you get your opportunity. You said a lot of parallels with the wrestling industry.
It really was. And it's interesting to see, you know, she's Meryl Streep as this female leader too. She really humanized that role. Cause like you would think someone like that, if you're going to look at them on the surface, you'd be like, oh, she's probably such a bitch. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way that people would look at her. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, I mean, I'm making my way, you know, through the wrestling office, as we call it, because I'm retired from the ring. And it's interesting to see that, because it is this play of women and men are perceived differently. And sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, well, I can't. I remember a perfect example. My boss, say a couple of years ago, I was producing and he said, you need to yell at this person, whatever it was, like to tell them what was going on. And I said, I was very direct. I was very direct with them, but I didn't yell. I just spoke like this. And they said, well, you need to yell. And I go, no, because if you can yell, because people accept that. But if I yelled, then I would see people be like, oh, Gail's such a bitch, right? So I really can understand perception, I guess, is what I learned from that movie too, how you're perceived as a woman or a man and how you got to act and all these balancing of, she always acted calm. You never saw her yell. She was always very sure of herself. And she was always very, she had a plan always, right? So she really knew what she was doing. And in the end, she played it right.
Yeah, and Rob, we need to talk about Meryl Streep, because I think there's an argument to be made that she might be the greatest actor of all time. I don't know if she's the best, but I mean, even statistically, like 21 Oscar nominations, that's just ridiculous. And she had I watched Variety did a retrospective on this movie where they got the cast and everyone back together, and they talked to her about signing up for the movie. And she had a quote where she felt that the original offer to her wasn't high enough. And she talked about how like sometimes like women in film kind of, they took the role and they accepted what was given to her. And yeah. she said that the studio's initial offer was, quote, slightly, if not insulting, not perhaps reflective of my actual value to the project. And so her pay got bumped up to $4 million for the movie because, like she said, she knew her worth. And yeah. I think that's like another important thing is just not settling, right? Just
yeah, absolutely.
Knowing what your value is and getting it.
Yeah, it's hard because sometimes you're like, okay, I'm going to lose out on this opportunity then. And I mean, if you look right. at how well this movie did, I mean, in hindsight, of course, but yeah. she probably is worth more than $4 million. If you look at the success of the movie and what she brought to it, and she was already a very accomplished actress. So it is true. If you think about it, I mean, I don't know what the equivalent of a male would have gotten in her position, but yeah. I'm glad she stood her ground. Mm-hmm. She's only helping the future in terms of her industry and what people will get paid. It's just, it is hard. You know, people have to stand their ground and know what their worth is. And sometimes you just gotta, I just did an interview about really just betting on yourself. And sometimes, because I feel like that's when you get the most, when you take the most risks and you really, right. bet on yourself, you found that those were the times when I got the most out of life, to be honest. Yeah.
And this movie almost made $300 million in profit.
Yeah, $300 million she got paid for.
Yeah.
I mean, that's including video or DVD sales and stuff like that. So, they made a ton of money. So, and those risks, I'm sure they still enjoy those, but yeah, she's just unbelievable. So many good movies that she's been in. One of the best actresses, in my opinion, if not the best. I mean, even statistically, and just everything she's done, I've enjoyed. So
yeah, I can't.
I don't know if this is her best movie, but I think this is her most rewatchable movie.
Yes.
I went kind of through her whole career, and there's some great ones like Kramer versus Kramer, Bridges of Madison County, Silkwood, Sophie's Choice, but it passes kind of like a lazy Sunday morning test. Like if I'm just lying around my, I'm not throwing on Sophie's Choice.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Great. I'm not, you know, some of these movies I'm not on, but like, it's basically, it's Devil Wears Prada is, for me, I think it's their most rewatchable movie. I don't know how you feel about that.
I would agree.
If I'm, you know, when you see the TV movies, yeah. every channel and they're on it, I will always stop for a rewatchable movie. And I've watched many movies over and over again, but Devil Wears Prada I could literally watch every day.
Yeah. Her, it's what it's this or Mamma Mia, really.
Yeah, definitely.
And you were talking about how you're kind of like working your way up through the office. Mm-hmm. And just now that you're kind of like in a management sort of position, she's not Meryl Streep's not the villain of this movie. I think like a lot of people, they play her. She's just good at her job. She's kind of mean, but she's good at her job. And she's in the end sort of right about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, if like, I don't know if this movie really has a villain, maybe the Simon character, the guy she tries to.
Yeah, that's the closest. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Or I know a lot of people nowadays, they really hate the Nate character, Andy's boyfriend.
Oh, that's so funny.
There's like a lot of people who say like, oh, he's kind of whiny. He couldn't support Andy when she needed him. Yeah. And I sort of get that too. Also, he's a chef. Like he's working nights. Their schedule should have lined up pretty well. So I don't know what the issue was there.
Would it have? Oh, yeah. I guess she did work most days and then he went into the night. I feel like chefs just in a typical restaurant, it's a hard life. Like I can imagine. My husband always tell like when he meets little kids and they'll say they want to become a chef, he'll warn them about like, if you're in the restaurant though, get ready to have no dating life. You're going to be in the kitchen like 9 to 5, if not the other half of the day. And it's like, it's hard. It's you're on your feet all day. It's not a very forgiving job.
Well, yeah. And a lot of people just kind of say, oh, he's the villain of the movie. He couldn't support Andy. And I think even Anne Hathaway kind of came out and she's like, I don't know if you remember when you were 23 and how kind of petty and pouty you can be in a relation. Yeah. She's like, we all kind of like to act a little bit more high and mighty than maybe we actually are in the moment.
Yeah. But I feel like, no, I never saw him as a villain at all. I just felt like, I really felt sorry for him, to be honest.
I did too.
I felt that her life was getting taken over. She didn't look like she had a life. It was just all for the company, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just quickly going back to Meryl Streep, though, she was nominated for Best Actress for this movie. She ended up losing out to Helen Mirren in The Queen.
Okay.
Which, and then was a quote from the Washington Post. They wrote that Miranda sort of popularized the female sort of anti-heroine. And I don't know, just from your perspective, have you noticed more sort of female roles in movies and TV as well? Because I think for a long time in the 80s and 90s, when Meryl Streep was getting all these nominations, I don't think there was like a lot of great like female parts in movies. Like, I can't really think of all that many that she didn't play.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing a lot of them.
A lot more. I just think it's just more, I mean, it's definitely progressed for women for sure in terms of every field there is out there. I'd say from sports to entertainment. And I think that, definitely better roles for the, even women are playing drug cartel leaders, you know, like Sofia Vergara just played one.
Yeah.
That everyone was raving about, and she went outside her zone too, and she didn't play the bombshell, and she played that tough ass lady that was willing to kill anyone, right? I mean, yeah. It's interesting to see all these diverse roles, which I like. And maybe
did you watch that show?
I did not. Not no, yet.
I haven't seen it yet either.
Yeah, everyone is raving about it. So my husband told me I'd like it. He watches everything, like literally busiest man I know, and I don't know how he watches everything. And yeah. He has no he'll give things a whole season before he gives up on them. A whole season, not just one episode. I'm like, I can't even give it one episode.
I have a 3-episode rule. If I'm not hooked by episode 3, then I'll tap out.
Okay, that's, you know what? That seems more reasonable. I got to try to make it to 3 episodes. That's what I'll do.
Yeah. It's hard though. Some of these shows, the episodes are like an hour and 10 minutes.
I know.
That's tough.
Yeah, he's good. He downloads everything, watches it on the plane, and see, I'm the type of person that I don't even want to take that chance. I'd rather just download Devil Wears Prada and I'll watch over and over again on a because I know I'll like it, right? So
yes, yeah, absolutely. You know, what are your thoughts on Anne Hathaway's character in this? Or like, I mean, not thoughts, but her role. Like, do you think she was the perfect person for this role?
Yeah, and I saw. I saw your notes in terms of who else was up for this role. Rachel McAdams was up for.
Yeah.
You know, I love Rachel McAdams. She's a fellow Toronto girl. Love The Notebook. I love her acting skills. I just can't imagine anyone else being Andy, though, to be honest. No. I mean, when I was like, she's a great actress, but I just can't see her playing Andy. Like, that's Anne Hathaway through and through.
Yeah. And perfect casting.
I think at the time, like, Rachel McAdams was so big, but I don't think people realized how big Princess Diaries, how big those movies were. Mm-hmm. I remember even just when I was younger, my sister was just obsessed with that movie just over and over. And I don't think people knew like how popular Anne Hathaway had gotten.
Yeah.
But she went kind of like over the top to get the role. I read an article where she said she snuck into one of the producers' offices and they had one of those Zen sand desks on their office desk. And she wrote, "Hire me" in the sand.
I mean, you hear all these stories about these actors and actresses that go, I mean,
yeah.
Most of them for having the balls to take those chances, right? And do those. Yeah. But I guess that's what you got to do when it's just like that one role that's up for grabs and got to catch their attention. Who else was up for this role that you said? I feel like there was someone else that you said.
Oh, for the role of Andy?
Yeah.
It was Rachel McAdams was who they wanted. And then it said, take all these with a grain of salt. I pulled these from the internet.
Okay.
I don't know what we can actually trust.
Yeah.
One source said that before Meryl Streep, they had talked to Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh, okay.
Well, Grease 2.
Okay. I know
there you go.
Older for that role.
Glenn Close and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Interesting. Those are such weird choices.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad Anne got it.
Yeah, and I'm so happy Emily Blunt got hers because yes. She was also auditioning for another movie called Aragorn.
Okay.
Which I've never actually seen. I assume it's about the dragon Aragorn.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of her career took off the way it does because she's so great in this movie. Even just like lines where when Anne Hathaway is going to get the Harry Potter book.
Yeah.
And she's like, wish me luck. And she's just like, I shan't. Just stuff. I love her so much.
I think she was honestly the star of that movie with Meryl Streep. But Meryl Streep was expected.
Yeah. And it
was like the sleeper performance, I would definitely say was Emily Blunt. Yeah.
Do you think Emily Blunt maybe because of like how big she got, I wonder if she kind of took some of like Anne Hathaway's shine. Anne Hathaway was like the big kind of A-lister. And now like all these roles that Emily Blunt's getting, if she doesn't come around, I wonder if Anne Hathaway's like in more movies.
I think that...
like if she market corrected her almost in a way.
I think they both do really well right now. I think
yeah.
they're totally different. And they are really close in real life or really get along.
Yeah.
And so they seem so supportive of one another. I think it's amazing that they created this great friendship and bond.
And I think Anne Hathaway, she likes to do a lot more independent or lower... She just likes like movies that she finds interesting too, and I think that's a big part of it. But Emily Blunt is somebody that I love her work. Sicario is one of my favorite movies. I don't know if either one of you have seen that movie, but it's one of my favorites. It's great. It's from Taylor Sheridan, who did like the Yellowstone series. But it's
with high action, right? It's a very action filled movie.
Yeah. Pretty action packed the DEA and just it's the war on drugs and stuff, but it's just very, very good.
Actually kind of movie. I'm going to watch that. That'll be on my list.
It's really good. I love it. So
yes. My go-to one for her is Edge of Tomorrow. The one with Tom Cruise.
That one was okay.
How's that movie? I mean, really, she does like A Quiet Place. Even I like Mary Poppins.
She does such different roles, which is so great. And she just like Anne, they can both sing, actually.
Yeah.
And she's Anne has a chick flick coming out. I think already came out, May 5th, right? It's coming up.
Coming up. Yeah.
Amazon Prime, I believe, right? So
yeah.
Where she is the older lady that doesn't older lady. She's the older, you know what I mean? She plays kind of the older foxy lady that falls in love with the younger guy. So that looks interesting.
I haven't seen her in anything in a while. I think the last thing I saw her in was when she did like Ocean's 8, the Ocean's movie.
Oh, there's got to be something in between that though.
Yeah, maybe I must be missing something. Yeah. But it's weird. She gets a lot of I know a lot of hate online. It's weird. Like around the time when she did like Les Mis and Batman, around that time, a lot of people were like, Anne Hathaway is one of the best actors in the world.
Do you know why they were hating on her?
I think, I don't know, from what I could gather, people just don't like that she's very kind of
proper or like goody.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't understand why anyone really.
People find reasons to hate when someone has so much going on for themselves. It's like, oh God, they're so perfect. I just want to hate her. And you know what? I find them likable. I find them both really, really likable. They're definitely both. If they're both in a movie, it will pique my interest. Be like someone, that person's in that movie. I would love to go watch that. There's not many actors like that I genuinely, just because I know they pick good things to be a part of that I want to watch, right? So those two are definitely, they have good choices all the time.
Oh, sorry. Were you going to say something, Rob?
No, I agree with both of you. Like the how people will just turn, I guess, on people after a while. It gets tiring. So
these days, it's easier to hate than love, I feel like.
Yeah.
Especially when you're on a computer and hiding behind a keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's what I've office media almost entirely. Yes. And just so much happier ever since I made the switch.
Oh, good. I'm so jealous. I wish I could do
that. Yeah, I guess I should be on there promoting stuff like this. Yeah. But, oh, well.
I do that for you. So you're good.
You're a good friend, Rob.
Remember the fashion designer guy? I forget his name. He actually,
Simon Baker, the mentalist.
Not Simon Baker, the designer guy. The guy
Stanley Tucci?
No.
Oh.
The guy that
designer.
Oh,
trying to make the runway show, and
she purses lips because she hates it all. Yes.
So that actor actually auditioned for the role of Simon Baker's role.
Oh, and he ended up
getting the fashion designer role. I remember watching that in the extras. And I will say I did love all the fashion. Did you guys, I don't know if you guys love
I loved
all the fashion on the show, on the movie.
I don't know much about fashion outside of like the kind of sneaker world, which isn't even like that kind of fashion. It's like its own men's sort fashion, of thing.
The sneaker but world. Yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine, and she's like, oh yeah, we see Andy in the first scene, and she's got kind of slingback heels and the tights, and she's like, remember that look? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about at all.
You're like, it went over my head. Yes.
But
I pay attention to fashion, and I didn't notice really. I mean, I noticed what she was wearing and how dowdy it looked, but I didn't look at the details. I just knew.
Do you have any favorite outfits from the movie that's kind of you remember?
I would say definitely. Well, you know what it was when they went to Paris Fashion Week, watching all the dresses come down the runway. I loved all that, of course, and love seeing what Andy got to when she did her little makeover. The one thing that did bother me about the movie, though, one edit in the whole movie that bothered me is when they did that whole scene where she's in changing an outfit to outfit. And then she walks in, and then Meryl Streep walks in and notices that she's changed. I'm like, wait, wouldn't Meryl Streep see her every day at the office? But now she's just noticing after like 6 outfit changes.
Yeah.
So that part didn't make sense to me. I always tried to make sense of that montage over there. That was it. I loved everything.
I'm kind of jealous of all those sorts of outfits. I love the one. I just always remember the green dress she was wearing when she was running around trying to find the Harry Potter book.
Oh,
I don't know why.
Yes.
I love that dress. I looked amazing.
So it's casual.
I watched this with my wife, and she's like, the hats, a lot of bangs. She's like, I don't remember that really being a thing. I was like,
She has good bangs. And of course she had a stylist. So I don't think anyone really wears that many hats in real life.
My wife took exception with all the accessories.
Yes. But I love the closet, and that you could just come in and just grab whatever. I don't know if that's a real life thing in these fashion offices, but it seems like a heavenly dream.
Oh, I love a good like movie scene when they're like, we're going to change you around. And just, I could never get enough of that
kind of makeover scenes. I think they're like, you go from plain Jane, and then you just become something magical and something fantasy-like.
Yeah. Oh, I was also going to ask, with the clothing, said that film had $100,000 budget for costumes, and that the priciest item, $1 million budget for the costumes in the movie, and that the most expensive.
But it sounds like a lot to most people.
Yeah, $1 million, and then the most expensive item was a $100,000 necklace that Meryl Streep wore.
Oh.
During the. During the scene when at the ball and Emily was sick.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she has like, So lots of money put into in this movie. They didn't spare any expense, that's for sure.
That's so funny because I never even noticed that necklace, and nor do I remember it at all.
Yeah, $100,000 for a single necklace.
Okay, I'm going to have to go back and look at that necklace.
Yeah, and they said that... because this movie is based on a book, which they kind of loosely adapted.
Yes.
So the character of Miranda was supposedly based on Anna Wintour, who was the editor of, I believe, Vogue. Or was it? But yeah, so they said they had a lot of trouble getting designers and models to actually appear and participate in the movie because they were worried that she was going to kind of blackball them.
Yeah.
Which is,
she has a lot of power.
Is interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, we saw a couple of faces. We saw like Lagerfeld, I believe, or
Giselle Bundchen.
We saw Giselle Bundchen. Yeah, she actually had an actual role. Heidi Klum made a little appearance in there. I remember that. So there was a few, you know, montages there, but or appearances, but I thought that in the end they said Anna Wintour liked the movie.
Yes.
And I think because Meryl Streep gave her a humane side, and you know, you understood that this woman had feelings and was a human being, you know, when they saw her go through her divorce. And Meryl Streep talked about how she did that scene without makeup on purpose, because just gives you a different perspective and show that people are not, there's different sides to every person and what they're going through. Right. So
did you have any favorite scenes in the movie like that you still think about like now that you're just like, I really enjoyed this part? Or because I know we were talking about Emily Blunt a lot, and she's one of my favorite parts of this movie too, but I didn't know if there were other scenes that make you think back about it at all.
If, no, in certain movies, your favorite, or movies you like in general, you have your favorite parts. I don't, like in Grease 2, as we're talking about at the beginning of the thing, I have parts where I fast forward. Like there's one particular song I hate in that movie, so I always fast forward. But in Devil Wears Prada, I like the whole movie, no joke. I don't think that there's any bad scenes. I feel like every scene is pretty important or really executed well. I feel like, I really like the whole movie. There's nothing I ever fast forward through. I just like it all. And well, I love
here, I'll give you some options, and then you can kind of just give us some quick thoughts on them. And the first one that I wrote down was the cerulean sweater speech, where Meryl Streep was like, you know, this pile of stuff that you think, you know, was, it actually influences everything you wear. And I love that speech. It actually gets me fired up. It's kind of like the speech in Miracle when Herb Brooks is firing up the hockey team. I know they play that at like sporting events now. They should play this one too, because I think that's a great speech.
Yeah. You risk that something. Cause the comment that Anne Hathaway says, actually probably a comment that all of us would say, cause we would look at those belts and go, they look the same to me or similar. And then you get this deep, you see the knowledge and how well she knows the business. And you have this deep respect for her, you know. Yeah, she put her in her place, but she made sense, right?
Yeah. I got the Harry Potter book scene, as I mentioned it a few times. I don't know why I love that scene. Her just running around the town trying to get the book. The unpublished manuscript. I love that scene so much.
Yeah.
I have one question though. The guy, the Simon Baker character, he's a writer for a newspaper.
Yeah.
There's a scene where they show that he's like on the side of a bus.
Yes, as an author, right?
I'm sorry. Who's he writing? Like, who is this person? Which author has ever been on the side of a bus?
Yeah.
That always just bugs me. I was like, what does this guy do?
Well, the only other author that I know that would be on the side of a bus would be from another show, Sex and the City. And you always see her on the side of the bus in the show. Where it's like, oh, that's not really real.
Yeah, well, it's actually fun. The director of this movie, like the costume designer, like a lot of the people who worked on this movie were actually people who worked on Sex and the City.
Yeah, Patricia Fields was the main costume designer. And you're right, the director, right? Because he was talking about the shots he would get.
Yeah.
Same as Sex and the City, from the shoes on up.
Yeah.
Making that part of the shot. So, yeah, it's interesting. But I mean, Sex and the City was a very successful series to this day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of the most like famous TV shows ever, probably. Then I also have like you talked about Miranda opening up to Andy about the divorce.
Yeah.
That's probably the scene that kind of seals the Oscar nomination for Meryl Streep. It's so good. And she even talked in interviews about how she wanted to take this role similar to kind of Kramer versus Kramer, where on the exterior, it's this kind of hard person that maybe you're not supposed to like, but she said that the challenge for her is kind of giving them a humanity, finding a way for you to feel for them. So that was like her challenge. So she said, that scene was like really important for that.
100%. And even the scene that kind of set it up was Andy went into her house.
Yeah.
Off the book, and she runs and she goes and finds them in the middle of a fight. Like, you think woman is this strong, powerful, maybe only almost like has no feelings, boss lady. And then you see, you know, she suffers for being that woman in her personal life for what she has achieved. And yeah, I think a lot of women could probably relate to that, right? You know, what you're going to sacrifice, what you sacrifice.
And yeah, and then the last scene, I got the Paris double cross where she takes Stanley Tucci's dream job away from him and, you know, she'll make it up to me. I think that scene is executed really, really well. Yeah. I don't know if it would actually work, like handing your boss like a piece of paper and saying, if you don't keep me, all these people are going to go.
I feel like there's a lot of people out there like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. I'm not like in touch with like kind of corporate infrastructure. So
I think there's a lot of cutthroat people out there that would do exactly that. A lot of, you know, people, I feel like once you get up in those corporate situations out there and you move up the ladder, and it can be pretty cutthroat. I think people would absolutely be that strategic.
Yeah, it can get pretty political in those sections of 100%. Corporations and stuff.
And that's sure where, you know, like an Andy in the end was, okay, this isn't for me, because in the end, I don't want to be that person that's going to throw my friend under the bus or hurt them for, like, she had to sacrifice Emily going to Paris. And you knew she felt bad the entire time, but she felt like, or she kept on making up excuses for it. I have no choice. I have no choice. I have a choice, like her boyfriend said, right? Yeah. So what Nate said. And then in the end, you know, she really realized it's like that defining moment, a life awakening experience that you're like, whoa, I really did sell myself out. I did lose myself. This was not the job I wanted, you know, it was being a writer. And obviously I kind of lost my path and got caught up in it all, right? And so some people think it's worth it, like Meryl Streep did. And then some people didn't. And that's like, it's interesting either way.
Yeah, this is a movie, like, I know it's one of those movies that through the years, you've heard a lot of people say they wanted a sequel. In my opinion, it doesn't need one.
Oh.
But I will say this, like, to know where those characters are at now in present time, you know. But that's what's great about movies is you can do it, like, it's like, look, you where you want to. I mean, that's the way I look at it. I think, in my opinion, I think Hathaway's character is writing books. I think Emily Blunt's like higher up now, and I wonder
if Andy and Nate are together though at the end of it. Okay, they got back together, but I don't know.
he's going to Boston. I don't know. I think that's just one of those college relationships where they like didn't want to break up and they're like, we'll stay together, we'll get an apartment, but then you realize like, yeah, this really only worked when we were at school.
Yeah. I have a feeling they're probably broken up now.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear the reaction. This might be the first ever pro Nate Devil Wears Prada podcast ever. Everyone hates him.
That's so funny. I will say one thing. I knew him as the guy from Entourage.
Entourage.
And I Chase, find it weird when I thought, to this day, I don't think he fits that role.
They don't have good chemistry, him and Anne Hathaway. I don't buy as a couple.
Correct. I think that's what it is. They're just odd. And I was, to this day, I'm like, yeah, he's okay. But I felt like he was the one odd actor in it. And no hate towards him at all.
Yeah, no.
Just maybe not a fit.
Did you like her friend, like her, her group of friends? Oh my God, words are all tongue-tied. When they're at like the one, I didn't like the one scene when they're at her friend's gallery opening and she sees Andy talking to, I keep forgetting that, Simon Baker's character. Yeah. And then she like jumps down her throat immediately. Nate loves you. Why are you doing this? I was like, she didn't do anything. Why are you like being so mean to her? I don't know. I didn't know her friend group either.
Yeah, I would say the chemistry was a little off with the whole thing. I would say as a woman, unless that friend is closer to Nate, or not Nate, Nate, that didn't make sense, because normally a girl would have another girl's back and be like, oh, who's that? And I don't think that, you know, that's not fair to Nate, you know, or it just didn't seem like a realistic dialogue to me, right? So, same thing. So I guess from a man's perspective and a woman's perspective is a little off.
Yeah, I just if you're friends, you think you would just like have like a calm conversation first, mm-hmm. and then if you find out something untoward is actually happening, then you could be like, hey, this guy loves you, why are you treating him this way?
Yeah,
but she just immediately just went for the kill.
Yeah, I thought the gay friend though, I thought he was pretty good.
I thought he
fit in the best out of all four.
Yeah.
Of
yeah, and then he went on to be in Mad Men, which was
I never saw that. See, now I got, and I heard that show's really good, but
I love that show because it's just like fancy suits and people smoking and drinking all day. It's just like, is this what life was like?
Yeah, dream life.
I don't know how their livers and lungs are doing, but yes, dream.
Little cleanse periods is all you need.
Well, okay. Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, I'm going to probably start wrapping up. I was going to ask, is there anything that you've seen recently that you've really enjoyed, like movie or TV show that you've watched that you really enjoyed?
Now I'm like really hooked on, I'm a documentary girl now. Like I love a good documentary. Now that you're saying that, I'm like, I got to see what I last watched. Because like I said, I've been downloading a lot of stuff lately. So let's see, a lot of documentaries. I do want to watch this next Anne Hathaway movie coming up. And let's see what my downloads are. Okay. Oh, the Sylvester Stallone documentary.
Oh, okay.
On Netflix. Oh, it's called The Gentleman.
Oh, yes. I watched that.
Okay. Is it good?
It's okay.
Okay. Great. Now it's, I'm watching a lot of, like docu-series. So everyone talks about this Formula One. The NASCAR. So I just have mostly documentaries. I'm that phase of things. And then whenever I see an actor that I like, that's pretty much when I go watch a movie. If I like the actor. So
very cool. And the Anne Hathaway movie you're talking about, it's titled The Idea of You.
Yes. Okay. The idea. That is a definite. I'm excited to watch that.
So before we go to, I just wanted to quickly double back because we did our favorite scenes. I just need to get your favorite quote on the movie. I wrote some down. Most of them are just Meryl Streep berating people, which I don't know. I should probably never be in any sort of management position because all of these are very mean.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me which one.
Okay. I got Stanley Tucci. I got Gird Your Loins.
Yes. Yes. I love that one. Yes.
I got the whole cerulean sweater speech. I think that's great. I got obviously everybody wants this. Everybody wants to be us. That's just that's the great. By all means, move at a glacial pace. You know how that thrills me.
That one is really good. But I'd say the one that, which is means nothing in the movie really, but I thought it was a memorable line. And I think women laughed at it. Is when Emily Blunt says, when I feel like I'm about to faint, I'm going to eat a cucumber.
Yeah. And then what she say? She said, I'm one stomach from my perfect size.
It was a very good fashion movie line. Both of those.
Yeah.
So gives you a perspective of how crazy they can get for fashion.
Then the last couple I got is Tales of Your Incompetence Do Not Interest Me.
Yes.
Please bore someone else with your questions.
That one I like too.
We did wish me luck. No, I shan't.
Yes.
And then that's all.
That's all. That's all.
That's all.
Yes.
And that's perfect. Yeah. Like I just love how kind of cold is, but she's great at her job.
Yeah. So good at her job. I think all the characters had at least one good line in the movie, if not many. It was just a movie that had really good script and a very memorable. I don't know. You could just watch it, like we said, over and over. It's very rewatchable.
And I like what, at the end of the movie, what Emily Blunt said to Giselle's character. I hope you know you have a mighty big shoes to fill. Like you tell that Emily Blunt missed her, even though she just got almost saying, yes, I want all your clothes. But it was, I thought that was pretty, I guess, touching. I thought
So. I liked that. Yeah, that was very good. I thought, you know, just like I said, it was just the way the movie ends when she's walking down the street and she sees Meryl Streep and
yeah,
she's going to make that eye contact and have that mutual respect. Mm-hmm. You know what yeah. I mean? It was, I thought it was a great ending because sometimes you may not like a good, you know, especially with television shows, when it, the series ends, you're just like waiting that perfect ending, and it was perfect ending.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, Rob, I think we covered everything.
Yeah.
Oh, TNA Rebellion this Saturday, April 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern. They'll be coming to you live from the Palms in Las Vegas. The show will be available on TNA Plus, Triller, and pay-per-view. You have Nick Nemeth challenging Moose for the TNA World title. You have Steph DeLander challenging Jordan Grace for the Knockouts World title. In Steph's corner will be Matt Cardona, like always. You have the last man standing match, Josh Alexander taking on Hammerstone, and so much more. Again, this show's available on TNA Plus, Triller, and pay-per-view this Saturday, April 20th, 8 p.m. Eastern.
There's a couple of good things. I think we're going to have a couple of good expected things, so be on the lookout. A little spoiler there. And also, of course, we have Nick Nemeth, that's part of our company now, who was Dolph Ziggler in WWE, and he debuted at the Palms in January. So now we're coming full circle to see him in the main event, and he's going for the world championship title against Moose. So I'm really excited for that, because I've always just thought the world of Dolph Ziggler and Nick Nemeth now. I think he's untapped talent that has been around a long time, and just think the world of him. I think he's so good. He's such a good entertainer, such a good athlete, such a good wrestler. I just would love to see him win the title.
And you got my guy Jonathan Gresham back, so I'm very
Jonathan excited. Gresham, he's back. He's got some issues, but we'll see how that plays out.
I'll always support Nick Nemeth. I got to meet him 2015, and he was over a couple of days. He was incredibly kind. He's really nice person. So I'll always root for his success.
Really good, and good people deserve success in world, and he's one of them for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gail, if you can tell everyone where they can find you, and
Twitter, Instagram, Gail Kim, it's me is my handle for both. TNA Wrestling. I mean, I'm not on TV anymore, but once in a while I'll make an appearance. But I'm still there to support the product. We're going to be doing great things next coming year, and I'm excited. I'm just excited for what.
Yeah, and Rebellion is going to be on TNA Plus, live from the Palms in Las Vegas. So Saturday, April 20th. So very cool, TNA. So awesome.
You can find me on here, and that's all.
Yeah. Check out Fightful.
Right. Check out Fightful. Yes, Fightful, the place that's allowing me to do this. Go check them out. Yes.
And check out Devil Wears Prada if you haven't watched it.
Yes. It's on Netflix. Sure. It's on Guaranteed. Crave if you're in Canada. Go watch it.
Guaranteed love.
Yeah. Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter or X. I'm also on Instagram and Threads at Fightful Rob. And then every Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern for Coexisting with Rob and Maggie on Fightful Overbooks. Want to say thank you for tuning in for Fightful Movie Club review with Gail Kim of the movie Devil Wears Prada. Thank you, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.